Dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it? What is going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals?
We are back.
We're back. There's no doubt. It's good to have all of us together again. You know, we missed Justin last week. We missed Ben at times. I mean, we have Justin just had his first ever speaking engagement at a conference up in Kentucky. So that was pretty awesome. I got to see some snippets of that you posted on Facebook. Eventually, I'd like to see the whole thing. But this is some good stuff. It's good when we all are able to get together. But, you know, when we can't, we still got to push forward because this is a calling that's been put on us, and we got to make sure that we're continuing on that path and reaching the people that God needs us to reach. But Justin, how was that conference?
It was pretty cool, man. It was laid back. It was Chris from Camp Vermont. It was his first conference, and it was at this little inn, basically. And they said, like, back in the Prohibition days, it was once a speakeasy. And so this guy, he took this, you know, 1700s, you know, house that used to be a speakeasy in the basement and converted it into an inn. So it's got like a bar and a grill and a little tavern and stuff. He had a whole outside area with a bonfire and things like that. So it's like we had lots of just late nights sitting around the fire, exchanging stories, having fellowship. And then during the day down in that basement tavern, that's where we had our discussions and presentations and stuff. And there was like 40 or 50 people there. So it was kind of, you know, just small and intimate. I had a really good time. Vicky Joy was there, and Paul Dixon, and a couple of others. But yeah, we had a real good time.
Awesome.
It is pretty cool.
What else you been doing, Ben?
Oh, me? I was just cutting trees and working on Jeeps. Yeah, man, we had storm come through. We had a bunch of trees down up in the woods.
I feel like that's half the eastern half of the country right now.
I know it, but I'm just glad, you know, nothing really happened bad around here where we all live. So, just working. Work, and get home and work some more.
Well, I think we should probably pray here, and we'll kind of get on the road. And we got a special guest with us today, and I'm looking forward to introducing him and getting him talking a little bit, because you guys get sick of hearing us, I'm sure. But I'll go ahead and pray this time. I know I've probably pushed on both you guys the last couple times, so before we have the fight, we'll get into it. I'll pray for us this time. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for this time together, this time where we get to fellowship. We get to be around another amazing individual that you're using in your calling, Lord. Just continue to bless us, bless this show, help it reach the person it needs to reach, the people it needs to reach. Help it all be to your glory, Lord. And in your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Now, today we have with us somebody that I've actually taken a pretty good shine to, just because he's helped set up the conference that has really been a big impact on my life. I know Justin and Ben have both been there as well, but the Go Therefore conference, as well as a great author, pastor. This guy doesn't stop. He's a machine and keeps going. But we have with us today Dr. Mike Spaulding. Dr. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Steve, thank you for the invitation. It's good to see you again, even if it is online. Ben, I think I remember you from the conference, and Justin, we just spoke a few weeks ago. So that was a fun time. So thanks, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, for sure. And I'd like to say this right from the get-go. We've brought it up before, but this Go Therefore conference, is it Brookdale, Ohio, or Brookville?
Brookville.
I said it wrong, not Brookdale. Brookville, Ohio, just outside of Dayton. It truly has been a life-changing thing for me, because whenever, you know, we've gone to that twice now the last 2 years, and it has been one of those things where you go there with an empty tank and you leave filled. You leave there on fire. You leave there with a renewed passion, a renewed fervor for everything that we do. It, when I get out of there, I'm ready for, all right, let's get back to work. Like, it just helps fill up the tank. And I think that's why these conferences are so important, because you're around so many other people that are pushing the message, that are getting out there, that are digging into the truth of the Bible, the supernatural aspects, the just getting back to the biblical side of things, because the world has gotten, even the church has gotten so worldly, that we have to kind of take a step back. And this conference is such a good way to be around people that it's a safe space to learn, to ask questions, to grow. And Dr. Mike, thank you so much for putting something like that together. You with Pastor Neil, and some other great people, that have been part of that have, really helped kind of change my life, in all honesty. And I mean that seriously.
Glory to God for that, Steve. That's very encouraging to hear that. And again, I give credit to the Lord where it's due. He gave us this idea back in 2017, Kathy and I, and we didn't know anything about putting on a conference. So we just stumbled around and had a couple of folks come, and it just took off. Every year, the Lord started ratcheting it up. And as I told you before we went on the air, Pastor Neil and I, he's such a kingdom-minded, kingdom-servant-hearted pastor. And he has come alongside of Kathy and I. I'm not going to speak on it tonight, but maybe if you invite me back, we'll break the news on another. Was that a shameless plug to have me back on?
Listen,
right.
Buddy,
it's all right. Welcome. It's all right.
You're welcome.
Bait that hook, brother. Bait that hook.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's things coming, and Pastor Neil he was a godsend. I met him at a conference, in Missouri. I want to say it was, 2021. We were standing beside each other at a pool. It was Jamie Walden who had put this conference on, and I was down there speaking at it, and Pastor Neil just happened to be there. We were just happened to be standing side by side at the pool while baptisms were going on. And, so he introduced himself. Where are you from? And I said, well, I'm in Lima. He said, you've got to be, he was shocked because he's, you know, Dayton area. It's only like an hour and 10 minutes away from one another. So that's the Lord put all this together because the Lord had plans for this thing that Kathy and I never imagined. We're just blown away by the whole thing, and it's such a joy for us to hear testimonies from folks about their appreciation for it. And I think a big part of it is, guys, is that it's like we're with an extended family when we're there. Mm-hmm. We don't feel out of place by talking about the things that we talk about. And that's not always true in the places where we live. You know, some folks look at us and the topics that we cover and they think there's something wrong with us. And it's like, well, something wrong with us is this. We love Jesus. We love the truth. His Holy Spirit enables us to speak the truth with boldness without being fearful. So if you want to say that's something wrong with us, then I guess I'm guilty about that. And, but I think it's a benefit. It's a bonus for the church because we have people from all kinds of different backgrounds, Christian backgrounds, and they come together and they get fed over this weekend. And then they go back to the places where they worship and fellowship and they share all of that. It's like, this is perfect. This is a weekend of discipleship and building into people. And then they take that back where they live and they replicate that. And it's a beautiful thing for me.
That's awesome. I know, like I said, it's changed my life. I know Justin, he had a pretty amazing experience with a lady down there who talked about just because of all these different things and everything that's been put together, how it's given her a safe space, a place to listen to people. It's changed, you know, you talk about how it's connected people. It's really opened up a niche in a community that was underserved for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I say that very, very, kind of downtrodden in a way, because I think of the church as a whole, and this is something that God's put on my heart a lot lately. It's something I've talked about a lot lately. These guys are probably sick of it to some degree, but I it's something that keeps getting put on me, is how the church is conforming with the world rather than going back to the scriptures. And we're seeing a lot of different sects of the church start okaying certain things that God does not okay in the Bible. We're starting to, you know, the doctrines of men that we hear Jesus talk about, right? When he's condemning the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we are going down that same path, and people have that veil over their eyes and don't understand where that line is anymore, because they're just listening to a person rather than going to the scripture themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, what you're referring to there, Steve, it has an origin, and I point out this to people because I hear these same kinds of testimonies from a lot of different folks concerning the church. And I think what it boils down to, and I'm thinking of Romans 1:16, where Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for all who will believe, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And I think that one of the major problems in the church today, and why they are so worldly, is that they don't trust God. They don't believe in the power of the gospel. They don't have faith that simply obeying, honoring, and living out your faith is a powerful testimony to the world. And they think that they have to co-opt or assimilate with the very thing that we're told not to do. We're not to be conformed to this world, Paul said in Romans chapter 12. We are not. Our thinking needs to be changed. And in that changing of our thinking, our behavior changes. And Paul says in that passage in Romans 12 that is our reasonable service of worship. That's the expectation for all Christians, is to put aside the things of the world, allow the Spirit to transform your mind, your thinking, and behavior follows, so that you can be a testimony to the world, not allow the world in. And we could give it all kinds of labels. We could talk about the church has gone woke, and all that entails. The church has gone, I'll just say it, since we're in a political season and the election's coming up, demons have invaded the church. I'm seeing clips where a candidate has been invited into churches, and she's being prayed over, and these people that claim Christ are praying armies of warring angels to protect, and I'm at a loss, almost at a loss, as to how blind to reality, how void of the Spirit of God, a man who claims to be a pastor could pray that kind of a prayer, knowing what she stands for. There shouldn't be any ignorance on this issue. She's had 4 years of public service of stating what she believes. And it begins with the preborn, what she believes about the most innocent and the most vulnerable among us. And in her world, there can be no exception. All preborn human beings are candidates to be sacrificed to Moloch, just like in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Up to and including what is euphemistically called partial birth abortion, where preborn babies, their heads are removed and their brains are sucked out. Now, I'm being blunt about what that procedure is, to make the point that a pastor who would pray God's protection over someone who insists on that being a right? That's the height of delusion and deception, and maybe even demonized. That pastor might be possessed by a demon. How could you not know any better than to make that kind of a prayer over this woman?
That stance alone blows my mind, Mike, because it's like, I know lots of people that claim to be Christians and they vote Democrat, but they say, oh, well, I don't agree with that part of it. And it's like, you're endorsing it by voting for it. Just that one policy alone should disqualify your vote for that party.
That's right.
If you are truly a Christian walking the way you are supposed to walk.
I agree.
I see it in the way where Paul says, you know, and he's referring more towards the Jewish people at the time, but he says, those of you who look back at just the writings of Moses, you know, just looking back at the Torah, if you don't have Jesus, the veil still covers your eyes. I think that veil is so much thicker than people realize. If you don't have Jesus at the center, and you just said it before, Mike, you said we're losing faith. We don't have faith. So we're turning to the worldly things. And this is where Jesus says, you know, the path is narrow, right? We have that. The path to hell is very broad, and we're exploring that whole path right now. But if we don't look at this in that way and understand that we're moving into these worldly paths that way, that we're going down these AC/DC highway to hell, and we're going down that path, that, man, it is a scary thing, because that veil is covering those people's eyes.
Yeah, for sure. And so while we're bringing up songs, I think it was a Randy Travis song, the high, Hell is Paved with Good Intentions.
Yeah, the path or the road to hell is paved.
The road to hell, yes. Yeah, I think Randy Travis had that in one of his songs. And I know I'm dating myself by bringing up Randy Travis.
Randy Travis is a good singer.
Amen. Yeah, so I think that's what the problem is, brothers. I think the church has lost its faith and its trust in the power of God to do what he says he'll do. Don't believe in his promises anymore. And so we think we've got to adopt all kinds of other strategies that are carnal and fleshly and under the dominion of the ruler of this world. And that's why we don't have any power, or that's why the church doesn't have any power. Now there are, so I need to make a qualifier here. Much of the church has no power. There are still churches that are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are still pastors, and they pastor churches that meet in brick and mortar buildings. They are still faithful, still preaching the word, still loving people, still sharing the gospel. They're out there, but they're dwindling. The number is dwindling. But that's okay, because we already know where this is headed. We know what the book says, and those of us who are faithful, those of us who are continuing to press into Christ, expecting him to lead us, he's going to use us in these last days, because when it gets darkest, the light of Christ shines brightest. That's why he's raised you guys up to do this podcast, because you're reaching a whole demographic of people that the woke church and some of these other institutions cannot reach. They've lost those that are sincerely seeking Christ. There's a huge difference between just showing up every Sunday and checking a box because you think, well, I've served God this week because I came to a gathering. That is the most lame thing. But it's true. That's how people think today. They think, well, I did my duty to God. I showed up for church. God's not really interested whether you show up for a church meeting or not. That may shock some people that have joined us for this, but God's not interested in that. Now, he's glad you're there. What he's interested in, what are you doing on the other days and the hours that you're not in that building right there? What are you doing? Is your life consistent with that? if people were to look at you, would they know that you're a believer? Would there, I don't know who coined the phrase, but would there be enough evidence to convict you as guilty of being a Christian by the life you live? Would there be evidence of that? What are you doing the rest of the days? Because if you're just putting on your Sunday best and showing up at a church service and you think you've pleased God, well, I'll be the first one to tell you, you haven't.
Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the Handcrafted Audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.
He's concerned about your heart and your mind and what you're doing the rest of those days. That should be our gatherings together, should be for encouragement and edification, fellowship, and then get back out in the trenches, because that's where ministry is at, right? That's where we apply the things of the scriptures. Excuse me.
Which our pastor told a joke one time that I thought was just hilarious, and I share it often with people. You guys remember this? Doug was talking about the cop that pulled over the little old lady. And our pastor, you just got to know him. He's a storyteller, and he'll get up there and
he's
tell stories and jokes. And he tells them like it's a real thing. And then after it's over with, he's like, and that was just a joke, by the way, or that was just an illustration. But he was like, yeah, this cop pulled over this little old lady driving down the road, and she got cut off in traffic. He was following her, and she got cut off in traffic, and she starts flipping him off and hanging her head out the window, cussing him and shaking her fist at this truck. And so the cop pulls her over, and then she's like, well, what'd you pull me over for? I wasn't speeding. And he asks her for all her credentials and stuff and goes back to his car. And he finally comes back and he's like, okay, ma'am, you're at liberty to go. And she's like, well, what was the issue? And he was like, I saw that fish emblem on the back of your car, and then I seen the way you were behaving, so I assumed this car was stolen.
I do remember that now. That's good, yeah.
That's a great illustration, by the way. That is spot on right there. Yep. Well, the world is watching, right, brothers?
Always.
That's it.
Always. And,
even when you don't know they are.
Yep. Yep. And, doesn't matter what you tell them if your life doesn't line up with your words, right? We get all kinds of cultural idioms about that. Talk's cheap. I hear you talking, and let me see you walk it out. Words are a dime a dozen. You know, all these things you're talking about is, does your testimony line up with your life? Because your testimony is no good if it's not consistent with how you live, right?
100%.
And especially now, that's important in the days in which we live. And one of the things that we need to do, guys, is we need to be prepared to give a defense, Peter says, of the hope that is in us. In other words, we need to be able to explain Christ and the gospel in a way that makes sense to people and patiently answer objections, because in that same passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about making a defense for the hope that is in us, but it also says with gentleness or reverence
and respect. 1 Peter 3:15.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not argumentative. It's not being a jerk. It's not being obnoxious. It's not getting into a shouting match. You're not winning anybody to Christ by entering into a shouting match. I'll guarantee it. It's just not going to happen. So if you have to, you just shut your mouth and say, listen, brother or sister or friend, I'm going to be praying. And right now, I don't think it's a good time for us to continue this conversation, but I hope that we can in the future, and walk away.
Great illustration of what you're saying is I have a coworker, and she said that when she was in college initially, and this is, so she's pretty young, I'd say freshman year of college, probably would have been about 8 years ago, something to that nature. And she said that she had a roommate that she got, you know, hooked up with, and her roommate, didn't have faith, wasn't in any of this stuff, but, they started talking about it. She brought it up and said, you know, this is Jesus is the only way to heaven and all these types of things. And this girl was like, wait, you only believe this is the only way to an afterlife and all these types of things. She went this whole conversation with this girl. She said, yeah, Jesus is the only way, you know, but she said it real nice. They had good conversation. They were friends the rest of the year. And they even talked to each other after. She said it was about a month ago. She called her. This is 7 years later. She was, do you remember that conversation we had when we first got to school? She said, you told me Jesus is the only way. Do you truly still believe that? She's like, yeah. And this girl still doesn't believe it, but you see that the conviction is on her heart. That's Jesus knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door, convicting her of, you know, the way she's living, the things that she's doing, these types of things. To me, what's so cool is that it's one little thing that you say. She walked a certain way. She said a certain thing. And that made such an impact on somebody that, you know, almost 8 years later, she's reaching out to her and saying, wait a minute. And she's still, my coworker didn't even barely remember that. And this girl, that's just haunting her because she's feeling that conviction. And that's the thing that we don't realize, the amount of people that we touch in our lives. And you know, Mike, especially someone like you as a pastor, there might be some Sunday that somebody comes in, sits in a back pew one time, you never seen them before, and then you never see them again. But you don't know what that person went out and did. Maybe that Sunday was what they needed. Now they're at a different church and they're maybe leading worship. You just don't know. But that when they see you preach a certain way and they see you walk a certain way and all you're doing, God lets us be part of that, right? He doesn't need us, but he lets us be part of that game, allows us to be part of that. I said a game makes it sound. I don't mean that in a way other than the way that he allows us to be part of the,
Steve, I pictured you in that movie. What was it? The Hobbit or the Lord of the Rings, where the elf and the dwarf are competing and they keep count of the ones they kill. But with you, it's saving souls because it's a game.
That only counts as one.
That still counts.
But yeah, it just fires me up. I just love that. I love seeing it with other people, and I love having the chance. And it's funny because since we've done this podcast, I'll tell you, first of all, when we got into this, it's only strengthened my faith. But the more that you do what you're supposed to do, the more attack that you feel, right? The more under spiritual warfare you'll have.
Yep.
And it's been unbelievable. I can't tell you the things that I've gone through in the last 2 years, 2.5 years almost now, right? Something like that, that it has hit us and it's hit me. And I know each of these guys have gone through some things. And the closer, the more that you do and try to follow that path that God has in front of you, the harder it gets, because there's more roadblocks in your way because you're doing what God wants you to. And that obviously means Satan. And I say that grossly because he's not omnipresent, but the demonic forces that are out there do not want you to continue because you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Easy ways to quit. But you got to keep pressing forward. You got to keep pressing forward because God's put that on you to do that. God's put that on each one of us, all four of us, to keep pushing. And we're going to reach different people. The people that you reach, Mike, is going to be way different than the people Ben reach, Justin, or me in our regular daily lives. So it's such a gift that we're allowed to be part of God's plan, that he uses us that way, and that we're able to reach people and just have a chance to reach them with that gentleness and respect, right? That you were talking about, that reverence and respect, that way that we can show them, not just tell them, but show them Christ.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's awesome.
Well, that's a good illustration too, Steve, of Paul's use, metaphorical use of the different parts of the body to comprise the body. Mm-hmm. I'm a pastor, and so I disciple a group of folks week by week, and folks that they will now because I'll tell them have never heard of the Dig Bible podcast, but they will now, and so, but you, Faree, are reaching folks that, oh, who's this guy? Oh, Mike Spaulding, never heard of him. Well, you guys are reaching those folks. So you're a hand where I'm a foot, but together, mm-hmm. together we're reaching people for Christ. And that's the neat thing about the plan that the Lord has for all of us is he doesn't make duplicates. We're all unique in his eyes, and he's gifted us all specifically for the task that he's called us to. The late Pastor Chuck Smith had a saying, and I've borrowed it and I've repeated it 1,000 times if I've said it once over the years. And it's this: where God guides, God provides. So where he calls you and you know that he's calling you, just be obedient in that call. I know that part of the human condition is that we hear the call and we want to obey the call, but one of the first things that pops up in our minds is, well, how's that going to work, Lord? Or how are we going to do that? Or how are we going to listen? All you need to know is if God is calling you to it and you're convinced he's calling you, then just obey the call, do what he's asking you to do, because in the call, in the obedience of the call, the provision is made. He's going to provide for you to be successful in that call as you exercise faith and trust in him and step out. And that's what you guys are doing. That's what a whole bunch of our friends, you know, we could go down the list of folks you've had on this podcast and, and on the Prometheus Lens. And every one of those folks has heard the call and they've answered the call, and God has provided for them. And I rejoice in that. When I see other ministries being lifted up, being given broader exposure, people are finding out, because listen, no one of us has the market cornered on what the body needs. We've all got a task and a plate and a section, and we're feeding the sheep as God has enabled us to. But we should be applauding and praying for all these other ministries that the Lord is raising up in this day, because are they ever needed in this day? And so I praise God for this podcast and others and what y'all are doing. And I think it's just fantastic. The Lord is blessing it and he's being honored in it. That's the important thing.
And that's one thing too, is, and I think it's that, and I know it's a broad brush statement, but how you had said, you know, that the church, you know, as a whole is kind of, you know, failing and going through the robotic motions. And it seems like those are the ones that like me personally, I get like the most pushback from, because I smoke, and, especially like the past year, I mean, I've went on a lot of shows that I've gotten guff over, because like, you know, one of them, it was called Subconscious Realms, and their logo has like this wizard looking guy, and he's not a Christian at all. But I mean, I went there and I talked about the Word of God. I brought the message with me and went on Sam Tripoli's show. He's got a huge following, but he is a comedian and he's got a real foul mouth, but I brought the Word of God when I came. And so it's like,
good for you.
But people give me, you know, some guff, but it's like, man, if I'm not going to these places, having these conversations and talking to these people, who is, mm-hmm. and if everybody had your attitude, those people might never have a conversation about God or hear the word. So it's like, you know, not everybody's a foot, not everybody's a hand, but it's like, if somebody's doing something and talking about God and doing their best to spread the word, you know, if you might not see it, you might not think it good, but I mean, you got to let people do what they're called to do or what they feel they need to do, and not discourage other people.
That's what the Pharisees did, right? I mean, that's that. And then that's what Jesus got mad, you know, the temple, we hear about flipping tables, but anytime Jesus spoke negatively, it was about the religious leaders of that day and how they treated people, how they responded. And when they come to him and say, why are you with those people, those sinners? It says the sick that need a doctor. That's the whole point. Yeah. And Justin, I applaud what you do. I love what we do on this podcast. I love, what you do, Mike. I love those conferences. I love being around those people. We have so many people that we now call friends, family, that we have mutual because of those things that we get together in fellowship that way. And now there is strength in those numbers. We have each other and we build each other up and we push each other. And, you know, we pat each other on the back when we go out to the mission field. And you know where the mission field is? It's outside your door.
That's right.
And I love it. I love it. So
it's a beautiful thing too, guys, to think that, having met all of these people and having been a part of an event that brings people from all over the country to this, I consider how many more prayer warriors out there are praying for Kathy and I. You know, Kathy went through a bout with cancer. God healed her within 6 months of the diagnosis, the operation, the beginning of treatment, and when we saw her indicators start turning, it was 6 months, and that's the power of God, and God does respond to prayer, folks. He does. He wants to bless us, and when he sees a number of folks that are coming together, and I'm convinced that that's exactly what happened, because in last year, we stood on that platform and we told people, hey, and I'm talking 23, this is what we found out. And people came to the front, laid hands on Kathy, prayed over her, anointed her with oil. And within 6 months, she was healed. And so this past July 24, we were able to, very first thing we opened the conference with was that giving God praise for having healed her. And she had an opportunity to share a little bit of a testimony about that. But I think that's one of the things that coming together as a body of Christ, it gives us an opportunity to get to know one another and to be available for prayer, to be available. Hey, I've really got something going on. Can I chat with you real quick? I get people that call me like that all the time. This, hey, do you have 5 minutes that I need somebody? That's a beautiful thing. We don't know, didn't know any of these people before we started doing this. And I'm sure that you guys get the same kind of thing happening to you. People will reach out to you, ask for you to pray. Maybe you've never met them personally, but you know them by social media, and they'll reach out to you and ask you to pray. What a privilege that is, brothers, that people would think enough of us. I'm gonna contact Steve. I'm gonna contact Justin. I'm gonna contact Ben and ask them to pray for me. That's an honor, brothers. We should feel like we've been honored by someone that they would reach out and do that. And that's how I look at that. And that's all God. That's all God knitting all of this together. And that's how the body is supposed to respond. I don't need to know you personally and seen you face to face. That's one of the beautiful things about social media and platforms like this. We can make connections anywhere in the world. And so, yes, the enemy uses it for a lot of wickedness, but God uses it for good in building up his body, his sons and daughters.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, we focused on your pastorship a lot at the beginning here, but you're also a pretty amazing author. And I know you're going to say all glory to him, and it's true, but God gives us those gifts, and it's our choice whether to act on them. Right? You're given a gift, a spiritual gift. You can choose to withhold that, or you can choose to use that for God's glory. You do that in the books that you write, the devotion that my family uses is yours. And I absolutely love it because it's not one of your prototypical lovey dovey hug it out devotionals, which wear me out. They're a dime a dozen. Yours is very straightforward, but it takes and gives you an actual lesson in a page. It's the 365 days or 366 days, I think it says on there, but the 300, whatever it is, it's the year devotion book, which is excellent. I highly recommend it. That's it right there. Day by day. Yep. That's it. And, it's awesome. You're a phenomenal author. Those devotions are great. They're a quick read at the dinner table. And you can sit there and fellowship with your family, use it as part of your prayer, whatever it is. I think it's important that you do that as a family. I think it's important you do that, and raise your kids up that way. Yes. You have that intimacy between you and your spouse, on that spiritual level. I think that's super important. But not only that, but you've done so many other things. And the one that I do believe is still your most recent is the Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I'm working on that book right now, and it's next to my bed. I don't have it right next to me, but I'll tell you guys, it's one of those books that looks pretty intimidating.
Like a Bible in its own.
It is. It looks like the Bible version of the book of Revelation. It's that large of a book. But I'm loving, diving into that, loving your insight. And I think Revelation is one of those tricky books, right? Because we're not going to always have it 100% right. We're just not. Prophecy is one of those things where God will reveal things when the time is there. And a lot of times some of the prophecy we see in hindsight, right? It's always 2020. We look back and say, oh, that's what he meant. You know, but he gave us the keys. They were in front of us. The veil was there until it happened. And, you know, it's like when he says to Daniel, close this book up for a later time, right? They weren't ready for it at that time. Some of these prophecies we're not ready to understand yet, and he'll let us know. But I love your insight. And I think it's important that people understand, like, Revelation, you know, most people are terrified when they think of the end times and things of that, but it doesn't, if you're on the right side, it doesn't have to be terrifying.
That's exactly right. And I thank you, Steve, for those encouraging words. But it is something that God encouraged me to do. I always wanted to do it. And believe it or not, I just started writing in 2018. I put my first book out in 2018. And since then, since 2018, there's been about 20 some that have followed that. So when I started, the Lord really poured it out, and writing is, I don't want to say this or give the wrong idea, but writing for me is part of my, part of God discipling me, part of me serving him as a disciple. He feeds me through his spirit. As I'm studying through these books, one of the things, I don't know how far you are into the commentary in Revelation, but one of the things that I try to do is I explain why I believe what I believe. I don't just say, well, here it is, and then move on. Because there are competing views within the genre of eschatology. There are competing views on, am I allowed to say the word rapture on this show?
You're allowed to say it.
Well, you know, some people could go, you know,
hit the buzzer, right. Kick him out.
Yeah.
But I think when you're to your same point, you, when you go through and you break down, you give, preterism, you go through, you know, you could give each other insight. And then you go and say, no, I'm going with the futuristic, you know, view. And you have these, and you go and you say, these are the options. Mm-hmm. So you put them on the table. You say, this is the, some people believe this, some people believe this, but this is why I believe this. And you give a really good account of that. And I mean, it makes sense. So, I really do like it. I'm not going to say that we agree 100% on everything, but I will say that me and you are probably about 99% on par. So that's pretty
well,
good.
That's
pretty good.
That's more than you can hope for, brother. Because 99%, that's pretty good. Yeah. So that, and I'm so blessed that the Lord allows me to do it, guys. It allows me to write. And I really love writing commentaries. And I'll tell you what motivates me to do it, other than my love for the Lord, exercising the gifts that He's given me and using the talents, is that it's a legacy for my grandchildren and my great grandchildren. I've got two great grandsons, three. I don't know how long the Lord's going to give Kathy and I to live. We are staring straight in the face of 70 now, guys. So, I mean, it's, you know,
you're a young 70. You're young for that. You're that's the new 20.
That's the new 20.
There you go.
but
you say our last conversation, you're in the, in autumn.
Autumn. That's right, Justin. You remembered that, didn't you? Yeah, that's right. I ain't in the winter yet, boys. It's the autumn. But I do think about my grandkids and what the world is. We just spent a week down in Tennessee on vacation with my soon to be 5 year old granddaughter and my other granddaughter just turned 3 in June. And those are such sweet, sweet times. But What kind of memories is a 3 year old going to have, you know? Now, the five-year-old, she's going to remember a few things. And our prayer is, Lord, give us enough time to where they'll have real live memories of Papaw and Nana loving them and telling them about Jesus and modeling it before them. But if he doesn't, if he calls me home before that, then there are all these books that the Lord has allowed me to write. That one day I pray they'll be able to read and then they'll know who I was through what I stood for. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the real, I just shared with you and your audience, the real motivation for writing all these things. It isn't for any other reason than to bless people that want to study a little deeper in the scriptures and to leave a legacy for my grandchildren and my great grandchildren to remember who I am when I've gone on to be with the Lord.
It's powerful. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to say direct locations, but next time you're in Tennessee, you better look us up, brother. And come do a live show. You know, we're right there. We're the Northeast End. So I'm not sure where you were at, but.
Well, I was at the Forge.
The Forge.
Well, you wasn't but Pigeon Forge. You wasn't but an hour and a half away.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, now I met with a mutual friend. She and her mom and dad came down and we went to Calhoun's. You might have, I don't know if you're on social media or not, but went to Calhoun's there in Pigeon Forge and had a nice fellowship time over lunch on Sunday.
We hung out with her not that long ago. Out to dinner too, not that long ago, Justin, if you remember correctly.
so how close are you to her?
About
an hour.
Hour, 45 minutes, yeah.
Just in a different direction then.
We're just north of her, just straight north.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
I wasn't invited.
At that time. Good food too. Well, anyway.
Well, next time I'm going to be down there, I will let you know in advance and we'll try to work something out. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be a blast. Well, Mike, keep going down the pathway. You don't only, and I'm, you know, the coolest part that I see in you and I see you, I can see it in many ways that you're letting God use you as I hate saying using you as a tool, because a tool sometimes is used as it's like a negative connotation, but you're letting God use you in so many ways. First of all, you know, as a pastor, second of all, as an author, but you do your own stuff online all the time. You have where you go through and do, you're breaking down Ephesians right now. And I, like I said, I've gotten a chance to watch some of those and I've really enjoyed your insights. And it's the same thing when you're doing the commentaries with the books that you write and things of that nature. Ephesians is a phenomenal book. I love Ephesians. Yeah. There's so much in there. You know, a lot of this show is based on the Ephesians 6:12 kind of point of view. So, you know, I think it's awesome that you're diving through those things, but you know, what inspired you to be part of that and to get that message out there? Cause I want you to dive in a little bit to the Ephesians side of things, what you're working on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That is. So I'm teaching through Ephesians on Wednesday nights and, we're going through the book of Acts on Sunday. And, I didn't look, we've probably been, maybe 8 weeks into Ephesians and I'm still laying out. So we've made it through chapter one in those 8 weeks, but I'm the last couple of weeks I've been laying out the groundwork for Ephesians chapter two. And I told folks, in fact, it was last night, guys, I told folks, listen, I the Lord has encouraged me to do a deep dive into Ephesians. And the reason is there is so much doctrine in this short letter that we assume we know the meaning of. And the fact of the matter is what we say we believe a passage or a verse means is not what the early church fathers taught. And Ephesians 2:1 is a perfect illustration of this. Ephesians 2:1 says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Well, that's pretty straightforward. Well, do you know that there's a system of theology that takes that verse to mean that you are totally incapable of anything, that you're a corpse? Well, that word is not actually used. The word is dead. And when we think about this in the scriptures, death in the scriptures in this sense, this is in a spiritual sense, obviously, that means separation from God. Death means separation from God, spiritually speaking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're a corpse. It doesn't mean that your spirit within you is not capable of certain things. But we read things into this. We've been conditioned by modern day theologies and belief systems to think that means a certain thing. And so what the Lord has inspired me to do with this study through Ephesians, and this will come out in the commentary, is that we need to do our own due diligence and not assume that what we've been taught or what we've read is what the patristics or the early church fathers taught. So the disciples of the disciples, what did they teach? That's what we ought to be asking. And mm-hmm. and when we do that, guys, what we're going to find out is much of the Bible teaching today is really influenced by some theologies that arose out of the Reformation period, and they got much of their teaching. Remember, the Reformers were Roman Catholics. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that. Mm-hmm. And so their Reformation, the rediscovery of the doctrine of justification by faith, certainly important, but they didn't reform much beyond their soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Everything else, their eschatology stayed the same. They were Roman Catholics. So it was amillennialism. They were Roman Catholics, so they kept infant baptism. They were Roman Catholics, so they kept indulgence. They were Roman Catholics. So we have to understand that the Reformers did not reform a good many things, and what they taught was received back in the 400 ADs from a man named Augustine. And if you know Augustine's background, he was a Manichaean Gnostic before he became a Christian. So you know what Gnosticism stands for. Yeah. It was an amalgamation of pagan philosophical systems and heretical Bible teaching. Mani, from which Manichaean Gnosticism comes, and that's what the school that Augustine was a part of. He left all of that, renounced all of that when he converted to Christ, to Christianity, and he taught traditional Orthodox Christianity, what the disciples and the disciples of the disciples and the early church fathers taught. Augustine taught that until about 25 years into his conversion, into his Christian walk, and no scholar that I have read has been able to point to why. But after 25 years, he went back and he began to take those Gnostic teachings and pull them into Christianity. That affected Ephesians 2:1, our understanding of that. This speaks of, and I'll be unpacking this in 2 weeks. This next Wednesday is we have a fifth Wednesday, every fifth Wednesday, so it's three or four times a year, I'll do a prophecy update. So this Wednesday I'll be doing a prophecy update, but in 2 weeks I'll be unpacking the doctrine of original sin. What is it now? What was it at the Reformation? And more importantly, what did the early church fathers teach concerning original sin? And guys, spoiler alert, what's taught today is not what was taught by the church fathers. I'll just tell you that. So what the Lord has done, Steve, and this is a long, well, I'm a pastor, so I give long-winded answers. So what the Lord has done is he said, hey, listen, Mike, there's a lot of doctrine in here, and I want you to unpack it. I can't do a 50,000 foot flyover anyway. I can't give you the cotton candy version of anything. I've got to tell you this. Listen, all of this is, let's unpack this and let's find out what all this means. And so that's what he's impressed upon me to do. And I'm going to do it. And I look forward to it because it's like you get to eat filet mignon every Wednesday night. You get to eat the good stuff. And, but one of the things that I think I shared with you briefly before we went on the air is I was thinking about Ephesians. You know, Paul commended the Ephesians for the love that they had for the saints. He said, every time I think of you, I think of the love that you have for the saints. And they were this group of people that just had an abundance of compassion and mercy and love for people. And that was, Paul wrote that letter late 50s, early 60s, from prison in Rome. It was part of his so-called prison epistles. And so he wrote that then. John, the Apostle John, received his vision, what we call Revelation, I believe, in the early 90s. So 30 years later, Paul was commending them for their love. 30 years later, when we get to the book of Revelation in chapter 2, Jesus dictates a letter to John. He says, here's what I want you to say to the church at Ephesus. And you all know where I'm going with this, right? Mm-hmm. So he says in Revelation 2, verse 2, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But this I have against you, that you've left your first love. Now, most people, when they hear that, they say, yeah, they left their love for Jesus was cooling. I'm not sure that that's that's what that really means. In fact, I'll bring it out if you haven't got there yet, Steve. I think I bring it out in that commentary. What I think it's referring to and what the context points out is the fact that they elevated their doctrine and their theology to a place where they were actually worshiping it, and they thought that their righteousness and their sanctification came through having correct doctrine. Where do I get that at? Well, I get that from that verse that says that you cannot tolerate evil men. You put to the test. You put to the test those who are apostles, and they are not. And so instead of loving people, and here's my point. When we elevate doctrine and theology to a place where we use it as clubs against people, we've stopped loving people. What are the two greatest commandments? Love God, love people. If you stop loving people because you've elevated your doctrine and your theology and you start pummeling people with your doctrine and your theology, then you stop loving Jesus, in effect, because you've stopped loving his people. And I think that's what that means in the book of Revelation, that they had done that. They had elevated. They had. And folks, I see that happening today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that 100%.
Yeah. So that's an interesting insight to me. And it's just a reminder that God's not as interested in you having all your T's and your I's dotted and all of your doctrine figured out in your own mind. Because here's another spoiler alert. You're probably wrong. And we're all going to get to heaven. And he's going to say, Mike, you really, really were off base. And you know what I'm going to say? Thank you for your patience, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for not slapping me down when I was so convinced that I was right to the detriment of somebody else. You see, doctrine should not be our excuse for trampling over people. We're supposed to love people. Yep. And we're supposed to show them the love of Christ. And when we don't, we're not loving Christ. So that's the insight that I haven't shared that with the fellowship yet. So I don't know when this is coming out, but they'll...
All right, release it right now. Here. No, I'm just kidding. No, it'll be a couple weeks. You're good. You're good.
Okay, we're good then. So, man, yeah, there's always nuggets in the word, right, guys? Yeah.
That's the thing, and I think we've talked about it. It sounds, you know, you're doing Ephesians a lot like the Heiseristic way of teaching the Bible. When we go back and listen to Mike Heiser, and I love listening to his Naked Bible podcast stuff, the way that he used to teach that way, but he could use a verse and, you know, if you went through and looked at the true context of how it was written, who it was written to, you know, what were they referring to at that time, you can see such a story that we're missing. Yes. 85 to 90% of truly what's trying to be said.
Yes.
So with you breaking that down, I really appreciate that, because we say it all the time in the show is context is king.
Yes.
So,
amen.
You know, like the book of Corinthians was not written to you. It was written to the church at Corinth, but the modern day church has a hard time fathoming that it's not just spoken right to them. There's not to say we don't pull things from it, because we do. There's truth in there. But well, this is why, Steve, I think that's awesome.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good.
So, you mentioned 1 Corinthians, and it just reminded me, I've lost track of the times that I have done a wedding ceremony, and the couple will want some or all of 1 Corinthians 13 read during it. And I've not been able to resist yet. There might be a time in the future, I don't know, but every time that's happened, I just have to tell the couple, I said, now, I'm glad that you want that read, but do you know the context and the reason why Paul wrote those words that we call 1 Corinthians 13, that love is not this, not this, not this, but it is this. You know why he wrote that. And I've never had anybody say, yeah, I know why he wrote it. No, they always say, no, why? Well, he wrote the love chapter specifically because they were not being lovely. They were not loving. And so he was correcting them. 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter on correction. So let that be a warning to you when you get to a place where you know, you're... And just remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians that you actually listened to as you were looking at each other and exchanging vows. And remember how you are supposed to be.
100%. Man, Mike, I love this, and I think we could probably go on all night. I got a feeling that you have nuggets for days, and that's one of Justin's old favorite words was the nuggets. He always wanted everybody to show your nuggets.
show me your nuggets.
But yeah. Why don't you go ahead, Mike, and tell everybody where they can find your books, where they can find your information, where they can look you up, where they can see your Wednesday nights, where they can follow you, you know, see your teaching, see you preaching, because you have so many outlets that can reach people and be shared and just get that stuff out there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, guys. And I'm happy to come back anytime that you want to do this again. Because I just love talking about Jesus, talking about the Word, talking about our walk, talking of, you know, just iron sharpens iron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Helping one another and your audience. So the church webs or the church YouTube channel, all the teachings are archived there. It's Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio. Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio. So YouTube, we're on Rumble, same thing, Calvary Chapel, Lima, Ohio on Rumble. Teachings are archived there. The church website, the teachings are broadcast live there, cclohio.org. That stands for Calvary Chapel, Lima, Ohio.org, cclohio.org. They're there. If you want to follow me, I'm on Substack. I post a blog post there about once a week. drmikespalding.com is my personal website. There's information there, links to books. If you're interested in what I've written, there's commentaries on Ezekiel, Mark, James, 1 Corinthians, Revelation. I know I'm missing all Daniel, Daniel 70 weeks, the four horses. I did a standalone book on the first four seal judgments. We call the four horses of the apocalypse. So there's one out there. But if you go to Amazon or booksellers and just search for Mike Spalding books, they'll pop up. I
recommend that devotional as well.
Yes. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. If you'd like a signed copy of any of my books that you find, then just drop me an email, drmichaelspalding.com or drmichaelspalding@gmail.com. And I've got most of my books in stock because people, it's still amazing to me that autograph means something, but I'm happy to do that, folks, for those of you that want a signed copy.
I have one.
Yeah. We're on Facebook, my personal Facebook page. We broadcast all the stuff live on there too. So there's a lot of different ways that you can track me down. So thanks for the opportunity, guys.
But hold on with us for a minute before we go out. But why don't you pray us out, Doctor?
I'd love to do that. Sure.
And if we could make sure we mention Derek, he's got a surgery and stuff coming up that I just recently found about.
Derek, our friend Derek?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently he, was experiencing some numbness and went to the doctor and they found from my understanding like a clogged artery or something that he's going to have surgery on.
Whoa, okay. Yep, absolutely. Yep, we'll do that. Father, we are so very grateful for you. We're thankful, Father, for your faithfulness toward us. We're thankful, Father, for your provision for us, for those that we love. We're thankful, Father, for the calling you've placed on our lives and for providing for us, Lord, to fulfill that calling. We thank you for your hand of protection, Lord, upon us. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that guides us in understanding. And Father, I pray your blessing and your continued blessing upon these, my brothers and their families, and this ministry that you have given to them. I pray, Lord, you'd continue to expand their footprint, continue to elevate their impact. Use them, Father, to encourage your sons and daughters, to equip them with information and knowledge that you will use, Father, in their lives at some point. Thank you for that. And Father, we do pray for Derek, and we ask, Lord, that you would make this upcoming procedure successful, that it would accomplish exactly what it is intended to, and that the healing from it, Lord, there'd be no side effects, no other symptoms, Lord, but the healing would be quick. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in he and his wife's life. So very grateful for that, Father. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'd just like to say thank you for coming on, and everybody out there, as always,
keep digging.
We thank you for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. Questions, comments, or future episode ideas? We'd love to hear from you at thedig423@gmail.com. If you enjoy our content, don't forget to share, subscribe, and check out our Facebook group at The Dig Podcast. Remember, you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig.